You're listening to Voice Actor Showcase, episode number 30. Hi everyone, and welcome back to Voice Actor Showcase, a podcast about voice actors and their stories. I'm Jun Yoon. Please connect with us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Voice Actor Show. These episodes are also available on youtube.com/voicemoto. The Voice Actor Showcase is about the stories of everyday voice actors from around the world sharing their experiences from their individual journeys. Now, if you have an interesting story and you've transplanted yourself to another country and you're working as a voice actor there, I'd love to have you on the show to share your story. Please contact us by visiting voiceactorshowcase.com. And while you're there, please check out the store and pick up the Introverted Voice Actor t-shirt or the Get Mic, Get Money, Get Tacos t-shirt for yourself or your favorite voice actor. The sales from the store will go to supporting the show as well as paying the voice actors in future episodes. Today, we'll meet a voice actor from Auckland, New Zealand. Born and raised in Japan, she found her voice through the broadcasting club in her junior high school. After visiting New Zealand for work and falling absolutely in love with the country, she would eventually find her way to her new home. Today, she works as a full-time voice actor in both English and Japanese, serving her clients around the world in both languages. Her unique story has so many similarities to my own, and I was very, very happy to have had the chance to talk with her for this episode. She's voiced commercials for Air New Zealand and is the voice of Mainichi, a daily news program intended for the Japanese audience in Japan, which she voices from her home studio in New Zealand. Please welcome Kelly.
響け、潤い。7つの美容成分をぎゅっと。リチョコラコラーゲン。ヒューマンヘルスケアのエーザイ。ニュージーランド航空に新クラス誕生。シートの座り心地を大きく改良。誕生エコノミープラス。医師ができることの限界に無力感を抱く研修医。初めて現場に出て奮闘する若者たちの姿を見つめました。
Have a happy Christmas!
マティーニのウォッカ。人生で幸せなひとときの始まりはいつもそうであるように、スピリッツも甘いものからその一生をスタートさせます。
待ってろアジア。 Now everyone can fly Air Asia.
Kelly, hello, welcome to the show. How are you?
Hi John, how are you?
I'm very good, thank you very much. Thanks for being on the show.
Thank you for inviting me.
I have to say, you and I are very much alike. You're from Japan, working in New Zealand, in Japanese, and I'm from Korea, working in America, in Korean. So I see a lot of similarities between yourself and I. I can't wait to hear these stories. Let's get into it, shall we? In the days of Japan, long, long time ago when you were a little girl, I want to hear some of those stories. Tell me about what kind of stuff you did for fun as a kid, and talk to me about your childhood.
I was raised in Fukuoka in Japan, which is on the South Island. I think Fukuoka is very a close part to Korea, the bottom island.
Yeah, I think so, actually.
Yeah, my families are quite typical Japanese old-fashioned family. My parents, I have little brother, little sister, five of us. Yeah, my dad used to work for city council. My mom's just stay-at-home mom. Also I had quite a close relationship to my grandparents. So I spent a lot of time with them.
Very nice. What kind of stuff did you do for fun when you were a kid?
Well, I was quite indoor girl. But I used to like playing pianos because my auntie was a piano teacher. So I had no choice, you know, like, yeah, but I quite enjoyed it. But I can't play pianos anymore. It's a shame, but.
My mom tried to make me play piano and it did not work. Not at all. I wanted to pick up the guitar. And I told her, I can't play the piano at the beach and make girls cry.
Oh. But guitar worked for you, right?
It did. I love it. I can just pick it up and play it, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
And I saw you singing on the channel.
Yeah.
You like singing, right?
I do.
Yeah,
I do.
It's great.
Do you like singing?
Yeah, I like too.
Nice. Can you sing? No, I'm kidding. Unless you want to.
Not today.
Okay, I got you. Excellent. Talk to me about school. I'm guessing you went to school.
Yeah, in
Japan, hopefully. What kind of student were you? Tell me about that.
So, student. I think I'm quite a good, you know, good student.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
The junior high. So where I first learned about voiceover or narrating stuff at the broadcasting club at junior high school.
Yeah.
Yeah. So my Japanese teacher, she's also the supervisor for the broadcasting club. So we learned, you know, how to speak, you know, properly pronounce or, you know, all sort of things. Yeah.
Yeah. What kind of stuff did you broadcast?
So it's like the school news, you know, like what's happening at the school or around the local communities. Yeah.
Like a news channel kind of.
Yeah. So we even made a video programs and broadcast at lunchtime. So students can watch it, you know, when they are eating lunch.
Wonderful. What was a really, if you remember, what was a really like cool and really interesting story that you reported or created that you're really proud of even to this day?
Actually, it's not the something I made, but that a year later I graduated. So the student after me, they created really cool video programs about the one old lady living in Okinawa. She's like nearly 100 years, like 98 or something. And they created the video programs about her life, going through the, you know, the wartime and everything. And
right.
They won a prize, actually the first prize for the national broadcast NHK. They have some school, that's a competition, you know, thing.
Oh, yeah.
So that was really amazing. Yeah.
Wow. Did the lady talk about the secret to long life?
Yeah, I think she had maybe eating rice.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course. I attribute it to eating rice,
yeah,
being healthy, and lots of sake.
Okay. It's soju, isn't it? Yeah.
Fundamentally different, but I prefer. There's really nothing like a warm sake on a cold winter day. Just over some sushi.
Nice. Oh. Yum.
It's a little story, if you don't mind. Sometimes in the winter, before this COVID thing happened, sometimes in the winter, I used to go to a restaurant in a city just south of us, south of me, called Fountain Valley. In a small restaurant, and the small Japanese sushi restaurant was run by Kasen-san, and Kasen-san was from Japan, and he's in his 80s now.
Wow. So Kasen-san is the owner's name, is it?
He's the sushi chef as well, and he's done nothing but make sushi since he was a young boy. And
wow.
He doesn't speak English. He doesn't speak any English. And his wife, who speaks very broken English, who is the waitress and waiter, And those two just run a tiny little 10-seat sushi bar in the middle of Fountain Valley. It's the city that's south of us.
Cool.
And Kasen-san sushi is just phenomenal. Just so, so good. Just nothing like it in this world. And I used to frequent them all the time. And they used to have the most delicious house sake. Hot and piping and with the salmon. And
Sounds amazing. Yeah, I love sushi. Yeah,
same. Yeah. Me too. Oh.
What's your favorite sushi?
Definitely the salmon over the rice.
Oh, okay. I like tuna.
Ah, yes. The toro is but I'm a salmon person, as it turns out.
Salmon's nice too. Yeah.
But I look forward to the egg one at the very end as well. And every chef that I've ever met makes it differently, I think. And there's the Americanized ones, and there's the one that Kasen-san makes. And it's just night and day. It's terrible. It's one of my goals to travel to Japan, drop into a Jiro-san's restaurant. And
oh, yes. In Ginza, right?
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
It's one of my dream items.
Yeah, I like to. Yeah. But he's quite old,
yes,
isn't he?
I believe he's retired now. And he's one of his sons is running that one. Yeah.
Oh, no.
It's a shame. I know. We're not going to get to experience it, you and I, unfortunately. Unless you go now, maybe. The last I heard, the reservations are still three to four months out.
I know, right? Yeah. But still his sons, you know, must have, you know, making a good sushi.
Kelly, you and I both know it's not going to be the same. It'll be great.
Not exactly, but it'll be great.
Yeah. It won't be the same. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked here. This is terrible. All right, let's move on.
All right.
You're currently living in Auckland, New Zealand, not in Japan. Now, tell me about the cultural differences. Obviously, big ones, right, between Japan and New Zealand. Aside from the fact that you drive on the same side of the road, I guess, which is different than America. But
yeah, that's so easy for me. Otherwise, I'm a terrible driver.
Oh, no.
So I cannot drive in the U.S., America. So that was a good thing. But I found it's quite obviously the language is different.
Mm.
But the culture, I think it's quite a few similarities between Japan and New Zealand. But the biggest difference is the speed, you know, the making decision. Kind of, you know, it takes quite a long time to change something or, you know, in Japan.
Mm.
But here in New Zealand, it's so quick.
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I could understand that, I suppose. I think the same thing happens in Korean culture, in business and other decisions and significant changes that should occur in a society. Takes a long time in a very conservative society, I think. Japan too, right?
Yeah, very conservative. Yeah.
Give me one more item, if you don't mind. The New Zealand that I know, the impression of New Zealand that I have in my brain, is this one of natural beauty, forestation and just beautiful landscape of green and different natural colors.
Yeah.
Tell me about the New Zealand's natural beauty, perhaps.
It's so beautiful, actually. Oh. So one of my favorite part in New Zealand, it's the, you know, the nature and the beautiful landscapes. So when I liked it, you know, flying into New Zealand, you know, the airport, it's just so beautiful. And, you know, the seas, you know, the color of sea, you know, blue and mountains, you know, grains, and it's so beautiful. And I live in Auckland. It's like 20 minutes driving from the central. But, you know, it's so anywhere you live in Auckland, it's so easy access to go to like bushes or mountains or, you know, the beaches. Yeah, that's how I like here. It's so relaxing and beautiful.
Interesting. And do you also find that the speed of life is that relaxing, maybe?
Yeah. So before I moved from, you know, Japan, I was living in Tokyo. So it's, you know, one of the biggest, I mean, the busiest city.
Right.
Yeah. So my life, you know, style is, you know, changed completely. Yeah. So it's much more relaxing. And I don't know, in Japan, people work hard and long time.
Mm.
And everything has to be, I don't know, perfect.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and here, you know, as long as, you know, things keep moving, it's fine. You know, people don't really care too much. And I like it.
Did you have a difficult time adjusting?
Adjusting?
Yeah.
Yeah. Not recently, but obviously before I had struggled a lot because of the my English.
Yeah.
So when you don't speak or the language well, or it's the problem.
Right.
To communicate with people and understanding the culture the things like they do differently.
Well, I'm glad that you're adjusting better now.
Yeah.
And that you're able to find your place in that country and in that culture. I know firsthand about going to a completely different land with a different set of languages and rules and cultures and trying to identify your way through it, perhaps. Firsthand, very much so. But luckily, I was a child. So as I grew up, I made a lot of mistakes and eventually got all ironed out. But moving there as an adult, because you had joined an airline, right, in Japan after school. And that's how you kind of ended up, in a way, in New Zealand. Let's hear the story about how, in fact, you ended up in New Zealand.
Yeah. So after, college, university, I joined airline in Japan. So as a ground staff. And I really enjoyed. But so our role is, sending passengers to, into the aircraft and shut the door, right? But I started wondering what it's like in the cabin, flying up with the passengers. So, so I thought, I want to go, behind the door.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Inside the air conditioning.
Inside. Yeah. So I applied, the flight attendant roles in Japan and I got an interview and everything.
Good.
But at the really last part of recruitment process that was like testing your physical requirements, the standard things, and I'm short.
No.
So
they rejected you because you're short?
Yeah, so they check your height, right?
Oh, no.
It has to be a certain standard, the height.
Centimeters, yeah, sure.
Yeah, so I couldn't make it.
Oh, no.
So, yeah, that was sad. So it was really a lot of heartbreaking time back then.
I'm so sorry.
No, that's all right. But yeah, so I decided, okay, I found another role that being in a cabin. It's called in-flight interpreter.
Oh.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, then they don't, it's not the height, any requirement for height.
Right.
Yeah. So I thought, okay, I need to study English, right?
Okay.
To become an interpreter.
Right.
So I came to New Zealand to study English. So that's how came to New Zealand on a working holiday first.
I was about to say, very interesting choice for New Zealand being a very interesting choice.
I know, right? Yeah, so back then, I had three options. So Canada, Australia, and New Zealand.
Huh.
Yeah, so I originally wanted to go to Canada because as... in Japan, we're so used to, you know, American English, like Hollywood movies. And, you know, we learned American English at school.
Right.
Right. And I thought that same. Canada, is it same?
In Korea, absolutely.
In Korea, yeah. So I thought that Canada, it's, you know, like closer to US. So, yeah, I wanted to go there. But
so what happened?
Yeah, so that the time I decided to go Canada on working holiday, they have a limited number of working holiday visa each year, and application was just closed. But I'm the kind of person, you know, if I want to go and, you know, decided to go, I want to go now.
Yeah.
I can't wait. So my option is Australia, either New Zealand, right? And I thought, okay, Australia, I kind of, I can imagine what the country like, but I had no idea. I didn't know anything about New Zealand. So let's see. Yeah.
Well, in a spirit of exploration, you chose New Zealand.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
I like you. Yeah. That's cool. That's brave.
Yeah. So, but yeah. And I, you know, actually, it was, you know, really good. A good choice. So that's why I'm still, you know, here.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why you're still there. Exactly.
Yeah.
I bet the air is better.
Yeah. Good. Yeah. Good air. Only the problem is on a, you know, south famous here. Mm. So because of the ozone hole, so the, you know, the sun is really strong. People said it's about like 10 times stronger comparing to a north.
Huh.
Yeah, so I have to be very careful. But otherwise, you know, air is clean. We got beautiful stars at night because air is clean.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't imagine how careful you have to be with the ozone and the sun. My gosh.
Yeah.
What are some things that are in place as a part of a daily thing, if you will, to avoid skin cancer and things like that, I guess?
Mm. So I try to wear sun cream, you know, every day.
Wow.
But I don't really like, you know, applying sticky,
me too.
Creamy stuff.
Me too.
So yeah, but I try and wear, you know, hats. And I go outside and sunglasses, of course. Yeah. It's just the basic, you know, but, you know.
It's just something that most people around the world, myself included here in America, or people in Korea and Japan would never think about. That I never would have known unless I had talked to you here right now that you had to be super careful about the sun down there.
Yeah. So first, I didn't know. First time I came here, I was, you know, walking around like I do in Japan, right?
Yeah.
And then that night, I realized that I, you know, my skin so burned.
Oh.
And what happened?
Oh, no.
Yeah.
I'm glad you figured that out. That's good. Being safe is important.
Yeah, I'm learning every day.
And how long have you been there?
So it's been for nearly 5 years. Oh, no, sorry. Six years now. Yeah.
Wow. Do you miss Japan?
Yes, actually. Mm. Yeah, I miss Japan. It's, you know, it's my country. So
Of course.
Yeah. I like, you know, my family, to see my family, friends.
Yeah.
And in Japan, it's, you know, everything's there. In New Zealand, we don't really, you know, just comparing to Japan, we don't have, I don't know, there so many products and stuff. Or it's not even like convenience stores. It's, you know, shops close early in the evening.
No Lawson's, really?
Yeah.
I'd imagine the mochi tastes different down there.
In New Zealand.
In Auckland, yeah.
In Japan.
In Auckland.
Auckland. Yeah, because we don't don't make rice here, right? So that's all imported.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But I quite like Korean rice.
Hmm. Are there a lot of Koreans and Japanese in New Zealand?
Yeah, quite a few, a lot of Korean people living here.
Huh.
But not many Japanese comparing to Korean people or Chinese people.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I'd imagine you'd have had to get used to a lot of different things. I mean, yes, driving on the same side, even though you're a terrible driver, as you say. But I think the biggest thing would be having Christmas and New Year in the summer.
Yeah.
What is that like?
That's very strange still to me. So I'm so used to like having Christmas and New Year's and in winter,
yeah.
You know, in a cold weather, sometimes snowing. But here it's, you know, people finishing off the year just before Christmas. So it was like during the summer holiday.
So strange. My gosh.
Very strange.
But whatever happened... What happens to, like, the Christmas trees and sweaters and snowflakes decorations?
We still have no snowflakes, but we have Christmas trees. Yeah, of course. And Santa Claus is coming on, you know, from the ocean surfing. Yeah. Good, right?
Wait, pulled by reindeers in swimsuit? I don't know.
Yeah.
Please tell me Santa is wearing like a swim trunk, you know, chest hair and like, yo.
Yeah.
That is so cool. It's so different.
It's so different. It's still, you know, strange feeling.
How are you enjoying Auckland? People, the surroundings, work?
Oh, just, you know, especially the work. I like, you know, I like Japan, but
yeah.
I don't, maybe I don't enjoy working environment in Japan now, since, you know, I know now,
yeah.
You know, how the working environment like in New Zealand. Yeah.
The grass is a lot greener on that side, I imagine.
I guess, yeah.
I think I'm in the same boat with you. If I ever gave up my voice acting job and became a corporate person and started working in an office setting, I think I'd go crazy. I really honestly do.
How about that in LA? It's more, I don't know, is it like quite...
LA is quite fast.
Okay.
Comparable to Tokyo, I'd imagine. But decisions get made very fast. Auditions are sent within the hour from the agencies.
Right.
And decisions are being made because there's no time. Nobody here can afford to drag their feet. I'll do this audition tomorrow. There is none of that.
Mm-hmm.
It exists, but they are not working.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, that's...
And do you like it? I quite like a fast, like, movement, you know?
I do.
You do? Yeah.
Even at my age, I still enjoy being fast-paced and being busy, keeping busy. I have to admit that it's slowed down quite a bit ever since I've had my kids, and we don't live like in the city, but in the suburbs outside the city, and things are a bit slower in my personal life for sure. But thanks to the advent of technology and the speed at which it's evolving, it's allowed me to really keep up with the pace of the industry here in Los Angeles. I'd imagine the case is the same with you. You recently voiced the tagline for Air New Zealand. Congratulations. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, that's one of the one of my great, you know, experience voicing for. It's been a while, but yeah. It's really an awesome experience.
Tell me the story about you finding out that you booked it.
So I'm with the voice agent here in New Zealand called Big Mouth.
Mm.
So
me too.
Yes, I know. That's great. Yeah. So Sarah, she's the manager, owner of the agency. Agent, she rang up to me and, are you available? It's like next day or day after. It's really close tight, you know, the schedule. But luckily I was available. So I didn't really do the audition, just my, I sent out the samples, you know, my samples.
Mm.
Yeah, so I was really lucky.
How many Japanese voice actors are there in New Zealand?
Good question.
That tells me everything I need to know already.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure.
Kelly,
how
could
many,
you possibly be the only Japanese voice actor in New Zealand?
I think, I don't know. I think some people are doing, is it, you know, part-time or, but I think officially doing, you know, voiceover here, I think I'm the maybe only one. I'm so lucky.
Oh, indeed.
That's why I, you know, got the spot.
It's really fascinating to me as well. I mean, out of all the places here in Los Angeles,
yeah,
I'm maybe like four or five really serious Korean voice actors in Los Angeles, of all places, myself included. So
I thought there are more.
That's what I thought too.
Yeah.
That's what I thought too.
Wow.
So I'm in the same boat.
Wow. Do you know any Japanese voice actors in LA?
Not in person. I do know that they exist. Yes, quite a mm-hmm. bit.
Okay.
But I'm not exactly sure how many or the magnitude of the market.
Right.
But if you ever get a chance, Kelly, to reach out to some important people in my neck of the woods, I recommend that you do. In fact, anybody who's listening, who can speak, you know, a language that is not perhaps globally globalized, like Korean, like Japanese,
mm-hmm.
I think there's a lot of opportunities around the world. LA, New York. I mean, LA, you could argue that Hollywood is the epicenter of entertainment all around.
Mm.
And if I'm one of the handful, literally a handful in one hand, I'm not sure which finger I am, but I'm one of the five. You could argue that having that second language that seemed to be rare in this industry could be a really beneficial thing for a voice actor.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
Not that because you speak Japanese, you got that spot. I'm sure it's because of your acting and your voice, your professionalism, your customer service, your work ethics. I'm not going to even for a moment assume you got that role because you spoke Japanese. No, I have higher faith in Sarah than that. That's terrible.
Thank you.
No, don't thank me. Thank yourself. That was, you know, you got that spot.
Yeah. Yeah. That was great.
Excellent. And you're also the narrator for Mainichi. Am I saying that correctly? Mainichi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Mainichi, yeah.
Which is a daily news broadcast that airs in Japan, which you record in New Zealand.
Yeah, that's funny, right?
First, what does Mainichi translate to in English? And how long have you been the voice for the program? And what has been your experience as the narrator for that program?
Mm. So first, Mainichi means a daily, every day.
Mm.
So that's a daily newspaper. So I've been doing narrating for Mainichi So I started in February.
Mm.
So it's been 5 months. So actually, I was a part-time voiceover, and I'm very new to like home recording.
Ah.
So I thought it's good opportunity for me to set up my, you know, career as a voice, you know, actor,
yeah,
with home studio, like, you know, and get the connection with the people.
Of course.
Within the industry. So it's been good.
And what exactly, what information do you exactly talk about in the daily news? Is it about Japan, in Japan, or is it world news? What kind of news is it?
So I get to choose 8 news. So I do the news on Wednesdays.
Ah.
And I pick, so I get to pick 8 news on the day from Mainichi newspaper. So I try to choose some Japanese news, of course, but, you know, from international news as well.
Oh.
Yeah, and at the end of news, I get maybe 10 minutes, like, free talk. So anything like, you know, what I'm thinking, or sometimes introducing New Zealand culture, Maori culture, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, anything.
What is it about voice acting, voiceover, that you enjoy? Why is it so fun for you?
Ooh, wow.
Maybe it's not. I don't know.
I don't know why, but I'm really fascinated about reading, you know. I don't know why.
Oh.
How about you?
I love acting. I've done acting ever since when I was 16 in high school. And I've never left the acting world. I've been acting, mm-hmm. directing, producing, and teaching. I'm 40, and after 16, so after 24 years, I'm still in the business, if you will, because I can't imagine my life without it.
I like it. I don't know why, but it's really fun. So even though I spent a long time, like, you know, reading, and of course as a home studio, working in a home studio, you do a lot of editing and stuff, or it's, you know, it's more like creative work, like, you know, putting the music, and it's when you get a right timing,
yeah,
or right a voice tone or atmosphere, or, you know, when you get it right, it's really nice feeling. And I don't feel, you know, I'm working it. It's just, you know, it's like a hobby, you know, I really enjoying it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you say that you found happiness?
Yeah. Would you?
How cool. How awesome is that? Oh, that's so cool.
So I thought, this is my, you know, thing.
I'm so happy for you. My gosh. That is so great. I mean, we shouldn't compare ourselves to other people, right? That's our life is our life, and their lives are their lives. But
yeah,
just knowing that there are like millions and millions of people around the world who hate their jobs, but they're stuck there, you know?
I know.
Golly.
And you know what? Life is short, so you got to do like things you love, right?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
I feel so lucky. Yeah, doing what I love.
Voicing Japanese spots in New Zealand.
Yeah.
Although, I mean, the time zones are pretty similar though, aren't they?
I know. Even though it's so, you know, far away from the rest of the world, like, it's like 3 hours difference between New Zealand and Japan or Korea,
yeah,
at the moment. And we have summertime during summer. It's winter now, by the way.
Which is so weird.
I know. So it's freezing cold.
I'm here sweating in my booth and you're freezing cold.
But I hate cold. So, yeah.
Oh, but Japanese winters are so fun. They're supposed to be anyway. All the festivals and firework and... Right? I don't know. Is that a stereotypical thing? I imagine the first time, I haven't visited Japan at all, and mm-hmm. I really want to visit. And
yeah, you should.
One of the imageries that I keep wanting to experience is the sakura blooms that fall down mm-hmm. in the summer, as well as like visiting shrines and eating okonomiyaki at stands,
yeah,
and at festivals. That's what I want to experience.
Yum, yes. Okonomiyaki is, one of my favorite. And also octopus balls. Takoyaki.
Ah, takoyaki,
yes,
is the best. Of course.
Yummy.
Of course.
Yeah, I miss the Japanese winter. Here, Auckland, we don't have snows. It's just a lot of rain, wet, and it's not like very, very cold like Japan. But I feel it's because it's, you know, rain a lot, it's quite depressing sometimes.
It sounds miserable.
It oh, is, actually. Yeah, so I like, you know, Japanese winter in it. I like to go to hot spring onsen
mm-hmm.
when it's snowing. It's beautiful.
Kelly, do you ever think about moving back to Japan?
maybe, yeah. Not at the moment. I'm still enjoying living in New Zealand. But, you know, as I said, I hate New Zealand winter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like my dream, you know, lifestyle, like spending half time of a year in New Zealand during summer and going back to Japan during Japanese summer.
Sounds like a plan to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
How many hours is it on a flight from Japan to Auckland?
About 10 hours. Yeah, that's a long flight.
It's worth it though, isn't it? If you could.
Yeah. So that's my aim. I aim to that.
And I have no doubt that you'll get there one day. And I'll expect that email from you or that call from you from Japan. Hey, June. Here I am.
Yeah.
Eating takoyaki, watching Hanabi go off in the sky.
Yeah. And come and visit me.
Oh,
and yeah.
I would love to.
Let's do. Yeah.
I would love
Okonomiyaki
to.
Okonomiyaki party.
Oh, you said the magic words.
Yeah, we should.
It, you know what? As a matter of fact, it might be in the realm of possibility. And I say this because I have a lot of friends in Australia, personal ones and professional ones. And I believe you're my very first and only contact in New Zealand. And I've been curious about the lands south of the equator for quite some time. And I know I'm an avid motorcycle rider. And in Australia, they have this across the Australia on a Harley tour thing that you can do. You pitch a tent and we'll go camp in the middle of nowhere and you ride the motorcycle from one end of the Australia to the other end.
Yeah.
And my plan is to do that and then jump on a boat or a plane to go to New Zealand and do the bungee jump.
Yes, bungee jump. Yes, that's one of the New Zealand invention, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I wouldn't do that, but that's too, it's just too real, you know, like you can see everything, right?
Yeah.
It's quite low, but I've done skydiving, actually.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's like tandem, so I wasn't alone. I was with an instructor.
Yeah.
So it was okay. And I can't see the ground or anything. It's just clouds, right?
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
And from the airplane, it just looks like a big picture that you jump towards out of a plane.
And it's really funny because I'm falling down very fast, right? But I can't feel anything like the speed.
Correct.
It's like I feel like I'm just stopping, you know, like a floating.
Yeah. A lot of wind noise, and then once the parachute deploys, it's just calm and silent.
Yeah, that's right.
That was a really great experience for me too, skydiving. I've done both, skydiving and bungee jumping. And while most people think that skydiving is the more scary one, bungee jumping is very scary.
Really? But you're brave. You've done both. Yeah.
Because you can see the bottom.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah.
And there is no parachute.
Yeah, actually, yeah. It's just rope, right?
And you're in New Zealand, Kelly. Been there for 6 years. How dare you? You need to go bungee jumping.
No. No.
Okay, fine. But if I ever visit you in New Zealand, which I'm sure I will in the next how many years?
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that I will be there in the next few years.
Yeah.
We're going.
All right.
You and I are going, and I'm going to drag you if
you
I have
go.
To.
Yeah. If you go, I follow you.
It's a promise. You heard it here, folks, everybody. And if she backs out of me, I'm going to get really angry.
All right.
Now, the following questions are questions I ask everybody. So, Kelly, the voice actor in New Zealand, what are some short-term and long-term goals you've set for yourself, both personally and professionally?
Yeah, so the short-term goal for me at the moment, because I just started my career as a voice actor full-time in with my, you know, home studio. So this year, my, you know, aim is like just setting up my the position career.
Yeah.
Or as well as, you know, setting up the environment, recording environment, and, you know, building up the relationship with, I don't know, studio client kind of thing. Yeah. And long term.
What about like 15, 20 years maybe?
Yeah, as I said, and, you know, it's like living in New Zealand and Japan, you know, half and half. Yeah, that's my long-term goal.
On a private jet that you own.
Yeah. Sounds nice.
Nice. Very, very nice. I think that the equipment that we use, the microphone, the interface, things of that nature, and what we start out with and what we eventually upgrade to, reflects a really interesting path, and it marks our progress to a certain degree in this industry as we get better and better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So tell me about your recording space and the equipment that you're using right now and what you started out with.
Okay. So first of all, I've got my equipment is very, very basic. So my microphone is, I use Zoom H4N as a microphone. So it's like, it's an interface as well.
Yes, it is.
Yeah. So just I use it as a microphone.
Very good.
And my MacBook and my studio, home studio, is like I'm recording in a little, how do you call it, this place? It's like a cupboard.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, so you know the place, a little cupboard in the hallway, you put your like stocks.
Like coats and umbrella and...
Yeah, like, or sometimes a toilet paper or shampoos, yeah. Or, you know, like your stocks. So I pull out all my stuff and I put a little desk table there and chair and put the acoustic forms around.
Very good. Yeah.
Yeah, so that's my working space.
Excellent. I'm kind of surprised to hear that you're not using a Rode microphone.
A Rode?
Yeah, Australian company. So I'd imagine there'd be a lot of it down there.
Yeah, I guess a lot of, actually there are a lot of Japanese voice actors using Rode as well.
Right.
Yeah, but maybe.
Oh, maybe one day eventually.
Yeah, maybe.
Okay. Now, Kelly, let's pretend that it's been a very, very long day and it's been very hard and frustrating and you're stressed out and you just need some alcohol.
Yeah.
What is your choice of drink?
I really like mojito.
Oh, nice.
With fresh mint.
Yeah. Oh,
I like it.
Classy. Look at you.
Classy. <Nice. laughs> But you know what? I used to drink every day.
Oh, I do still, so it's you okay.
Do? Like, so when you do, you know, start cooking at dinner,
yeah,
you know, in the evening, I start drinking wine or beer in the kitchen, like while I'm cooking.
Yeah.
And after dinner, like maybe a little bit of whiskey at night with... Oh. A chocolate, it's like a dessert, you know?
I love it. I love it.
You do that too?
Yes.
Yeah, that's so good, right?
Wow.
But because with my job, flying job, you know, I struggled sleeping. So I stopped, you know, just from this year, January, I start, you know, stop drinking alcohol. Also, any like, coffee or, you know, tea or caffeinated drinks.
Has it helped?
Yeah.
Excellent.
It's, yeah, I sleep like a child at night. So it's quite, you know, it works for me. Yeah, but I still, you know, enjoy drinking, you know, when I go out for dinner or things like that.
That's wonderful. Absolutely wonderful. I sometimes other voice actors that I talk to are, they feel pressured, like they have to answer with some alcoholic beverage and we have to laugh about it. No, you drink what you drink. Some people have said, I don't drink alcohol. I drink tea, you know, chamomile tea to relax me, or I just drink water and that's what I do. And which is great, which is fine. You?
Yeah, that's
Yes. Just like that.
Yeah.
That's beautiful. So, Kelly, what's next? Do you have anything coming up that we should know about? And do you have anything you want to talk about?
I've recently done voicing support for Amazon Music Japan. Yeah, that's really cool. So I haven't heard the finished. I've done recording, but, you know, sometimes you don't get the finish.
Yeah.
The finished work.
Until for quite some time or never.
Yeah. So I still haven't heard, you know, the finished one, but that's one thing. And I'm working on kind of like a e-learning, like a leadership development e-learning thing. It's like a dubbing English version to Japanese. And yeah, it's quite interesting.
Very familiar with that medium too. Yes, I am.
Oh, really?
Oh my gosh.
Yeah?
Dubbing in Korean, especially the webinars. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. And I don't know that in Korea, but Korean language, but Japanese, it tend to have longer sentences, you know, to English.
Same here.
So, all right.
So,
yeah. So I'm like, you know, like talking like super fast. Yeah. But that's cool. Yeah.
I make edits to make it more concise.
Cool.
Because my clients are not Korean. They just want a Korean version.
Right.
And as long as the meaning comes across,
yeah,
it's fine. Nobody really speaks in full complete sentences anyway, as the translators have translated.
Yeah.
So
I agree. Yeah. But
I change it.
Yeah. That's good if you can do that. Yeah.
I recommend it.
Yeah. With this client, they're quite strict. So I have to read exactly.
Oh.
And the translators, they don't care, you know, about us, right?
Yeah. They're translating word for word as if it's meant to be read, not spoken. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's really sometimes strange if you translate word to word.
Yeah. Because the translators translate things meant to be read with your eyes, not spoken with your mouth. And it drives me crazy.
Yeah. So that's something I'm, you know, working on at the moment.
I say, write that angry email back. Excuse me.
Yeah.
Excellent. Okay. And if the listeners would like to find out more about you, I'm sure there are many Japanese listeners, as a matter of fact, who might be interested in jumping into voiceover here in America and other parts of the world. Where can they go to find you? And if they could, if it's okay with you, could they contact you to ask some questions?
Yes, of course. So I've got my Facebook page. I haven't done created the my website yet. So at the moment, I've got Facebook and Instagram. So that so if you Google like Kelly Voice Japan, you will find me.
Perfect. Kelly Voice Japan in Google. Excellent. Instagram and Facebook.
Facebook and YouTube as well.
And YouTube. Perfect. Beautiful. Wow. Thank you very much for spending
an
hour here with me. It's been so fun. And
yeah, it's been great.
I learned so much about New Zealand.
Yeah, bungee jump, right? We do that.
And that's a promise. I will be there one of these days, one of these years, I don't know, and I will drag you up there with me.
Yeah, we will do that.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, and I hope you have a great rest of your day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This has been Voice Actor Showcase. Visit our website at voiceactorshowcase.com. If you'd like to be featured on this podcast, contact us at voiceactorsshowcase.com. Thanks for listening.